You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
95BFM News Election Coverage 2020. Housing.
Continuing on from the last interview, I sought an opposing view on renting issues. Just to reiterate, the amendment makes changes to security and safety for renters, it removes no-cause evictions, it limits rent increases to once yearly, and it allows for minor changes like wall fittings and baby-proofing, among lots of other things. I spoke to Sharon Colwick, Executive Officer of the New Zealand Property Investors Federation, and I started by asking what her thoughts were on the amendments.
Well, we've got three main concerns with it. One is the inability for landlords now to use a 90-day no-cause eviction. Now, it's only used in 2% of cases, but a very small amount of tenants that get these 90-day no-cause evictions. So what it means is that we can terminate a tenancy just by giving the tenants 90 days to find somewhere else to live. They can move on from that property without having a bad tenancy record or anything like that. Now with the changes, we can't remove tenants from the property, which means that once you really put in a tenant, that tenant really is there for life until they decide to move out. The second point that we've got is that fixed-term tenancies automatically become periodic tenancies. So if you've got a fixed term for a year and then you both agree that you will move out, then that happens. But if you get to the situation that the tenant wants to stay and the landlord doesn't, then the tenancy actually continues at a periodic tenancy. So now because we don't have the ability of asking people to leave in 90 days, it means those tenants can really stay as long as they like. There's a few things that we can't get rid of them. That we can get rid of the tenant out of the property, and that might be if we're doing a demolition on the property, we've got major renovations, or antisocial behaviour. They've done three counts of antisocial behaviour in 90 days. But that's really the only ways that we can remove a tenant from a property. So the third one really is that there's a lot of penalties that are put on landlords if they get something wrong. So it used to be, prior to this Act, there was 24 unlawful acts against landlords. It's now increased to 60 unlawful acts against landlords and 24 pecuniary penalties. Of up to $100,000, which is improvement notices and enforcement undertakings, have all been added. So there's a lot of things that are actually against landlords.
On the no-cause evictions, this is something that tenancy advocacy groups have particularly celebrated, and just in the name no-cause evictions, it seems that there are still ways to evict tenants. There just need to be evidence. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So now we have to get three forms of antisocial behaviour, or something like that. But our main concern with this is, yes, the 2% of tenants that get it, but let's say you've got a block of 8 flats and you've got one tenant in one flat that causes a nuisance to everyone else. So what will happen is that bad tenant, who is disruptive and antisocial, will end up staying, and all the good tenants will end up shifting. So even though it's security of tenure, it's only security of tenure for bad tenants. A landlord needs someone in the property to pay the rent that then pays the mortgage. So landlords aren't in the business of removing tenants for no reason whatsoever. There's always a reason why we'd remove a tenant from a property.
But if the tenant's behaviour was so bad, wouldn't it meet the required standard under the new legislation anyway?
It would in certain cases, but not in others. I could give you another example. Let's say you've got a friend who's coming from overseas and you've decided that you're going to rent out your house for 1 year to someone because this friend of yours is coming back from overseas and you'd quite like them to live into your property. You can no longer remove those tenants so your friend can actually move into your property. So really you're diminishing the landlord's rights of actually owning a property. It's their property. They should be able to choose what they do with their property. But with these regulations now, it doesn't seem that a landlord actually has a lot of rights over their own property.
But in an equal relationship between tenants and landlords, don't tenants deserve to have some sort of justification for why their landlord is evicting them?
Yes, they do, but often with some tenants, if you give them the reason why they're leaving or why they have to leave a property, it just gives them a signal, really, that they can do whatever damage they like to the property. For a landlord, we'd rather give them a 90-day notice that they can move out rather than telling them, the reason I'm giving you this, you know, this notice is because of this particular behaviour. Sure, people need the right to correct that behaviour, But to get three cases in 90 days, then you need to get your neighbours to make sure that they've, you know, they can verify what happened. Often it's the neighbours that are elderly, for example, they wouldn't want to put their name down or be known to have anything to do with the reason why that particular tenant is having to move out of their property. The new laws mean that it will have to be disclosed to the tenant who's actually complaining about them or who's actually put in some sort of notice of their disruptive behaviour, which we don't think is very good, especially not for elderly neighbours.
Your press release stated that these changes only protect the 2% of tenants that cause problems, and you mentioned that earlier in the interview as well. But that same press release also cautioned that this had inadequate protections for landlords against antisocial tenants. Why should policy affecting all renters be based on the behaviour of such a small proportion of them?
That's what we think too. So why should this legislation come through when really it's only helping the 2% of antisocial tenants? It's not helping the good 98% of tenants. We think there's between 9,000 and 12,000 tenants that get a 90-day notice per year, which is, there's quite a lot of people, but those 12,000 can affect 60,000 of their neighbours. So if you look at anyone who's actually around those particular households, so it actually affects a lot of people. So it does seem very unusual that they've made legislation that protects 2% of the population, whereas another 98% of the population are actually the ones that are suffering from this legislation.
But aren't most tenants suffering under increasing rents, et cetera, et cetera?
So increasing rents, they don't want to get worse. The reason it'll get worse is because now landlords, when they are looking at potential tenants, because it's so hard to remove a tenant from your property, only those tenants that have impeccable credit history, that have impeccable references from their previous landlords, they'll be the only ones that get tenants. We know that there's about 18,000 people on the emergency housing list, and we know that that will increase hugely by the time this legislation comes in, which will be in 6 months' time. It will be enormous. It will be very hard for someone who's got a bad credit rating or someone who's counted as a marginal tenant. So whether that be someone who's younger, whether it be someone who doesn't have references of where they've lived, whether it be someone who's shifted around a lot, they will not find a property they can rent off a private landlord because the risks for the landlord are just too great. If you can't remove a tenant on a 90-day no-calls, it will just make it very, very hard for those people to find a place to live in the private sector. And we know that the state only look after those people that are on some sort of benefit. So those people that are working, that have bad credit, they will find it very, very hard to find a house to rent. And rents will inevitably go up. All you're doing is reducing the supply.
Isn't that already the status quo in places like the Wellington CBD, to the point where the new legislation has had to ban rental bidding because that's what was happening?
Yeah, no, that's right. So what will happen now is they ban rental bidding, and they've also limited the amount of increases that you can do on rents to once per year. That's fine. We think that's actually quite a good idea. But what will happen, I'll just give you my example. I had purchased a house that was under-rented. So I said to my tenants, this is going up by $150 per week, but I'm going to do it in 6 months increments. So I did $50 after I've had it for 6 months, then I put it up to next $100 to $150. So I gave my tenants time that they could adjust to that. And I said to them, if you want to, you could find something else that's cheaper in the meantime, but this could be what your rent will be in a year and a half. Now what happens to once a year rent means that rents will have a huge increase just to bring them up to that particular market rent at the time. So instead of it being an increment, it'll be a big jump for a lot of people, which will be hard for them to handle financially through their budgeting and things like that.
What do you propose as an alternative solution to address rising rents and short supply?
The only way we can address it really is to increase supply of houses. So at the moment, the coalition government seems to be hell-bent on removing private landlords. What they should be doing is we own about 655,000 houses that are rented. So there's 290,000 private landlords in the country. What they should be doing is working with private landlords and working out ways that we can increase supply, not trying to squeeze landlords out of the market. Because if you squeeze landlords out of the market, all you're doing is reducing the supply of rental properties. If first-home buyers move into the market, which is great, and we're all for first-home buyers moving into the market, but what happens is there's less people living in a first-home buyer's house than what there is in a rental property. So if a rental property is sold to a first-home buyer, it means you still need another house to house the leftover people. So all you're doing is making it worse. You're making the whole housing situation worse.
But if landlords are kind of looking at selling off their properties en masse in response to this and triggering a decrease in supply and still having a situation where rents continue to increase, isn't that an indictment of the rental market as a whole more than anything?
It is, but you need private landlords. You can't have, we can't just have state houses. There's not enough state houses. The government isn't the best at looking after and organising houses to be built. We've seen that in the past. They haven't been able to do it. National government sold off a whole lot of state houses, but they sold it to private. They sold it to. I can't think of what they're called. They sold them to community groups. So selling them to community groups like Salvation Army meant that they'd better equipped to look after those houses and to run those houses than what the government are. So that's probably the best way of doing it, rather than the government doing it through state housing. There's community groups that are formed, that are ready to do this. And yes, they're just as good as private landlords. So we need to work together and try and increase supply.
Where would you like to see tenancy policies go after the election?
Well, I think that landlords definitely need to have the right to remove a tenant with a 90-day no-clause. As I've said, the landlord owns the house, so the landlord should have the right to live in that property. So the way that it's structured at the moment, all landlords' rights to their own property have actually been diminished. So that needs to change. Landlords own the houses. We provide a service of letting tenants stay in our houses. We should be able to decide who stays in our houses and who rents it from us, rather than being told that once you have someone in there, it's virtually a house for life. That doesn't work for us.
95BFM Election Central. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.